Issue number one is, how do we define if a fruit or vegetable is Shemitah is going to be dependent on a number of different factors. So we're going to go factor by factor in order to figure out if something, if a fruit or a vegetable is considered Shemitah. So the first issue we need to address is, where did the fruit grow? I know you're probably thinking, like, isn't it more important when it grew? The sixth year, the seventh year? So yes, in general, we're talking about things that grew in the seventh year. But even when we say grew, what does it mean to grow? Something can be planted in the sixth year. It can grow partially in the sixth year, partially in the seventh year. So we're going to see that that's going to be a big discussion. So the first issue we're going to talk about is not when it grew. We're going to just refer to Peirosh Shvius. We have to still define what that is. But the first issue we need to address is, where did it grow, its location? So the easiest is something that grew within the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael and in land that's owned by a Jew. That's the easiest. Those things are kadosh b'kedusha shvius. They have kedusha. Now, I already have to define two things. First of all, what do we mean the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael? That is a huge topic. What are the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael? Why? Well, first of all, God promised Abraham that he was going to give him from the sea to the river. It's a huge chunk of land. It includes Lebanon and Syria and Iraq. Huge part of land. Those are the Gvulos Haftacha. When we went into Eretz Yisrael, like with Yehoshua, that was called the Ole Mitzrayim. They came out of Egypt, crossed through the desert, and they cross over the Yarden to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they conquer a very large piece of land, which includes parts of Syria, parts of Lebanon. That's called the Gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim. The Rambam Paskins, you don't have to read all this down, this is just like for you to know on the side. The Rambam Paskins, that's called Kedusha Rishona. That first Kedusha was only L'Shaita. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we got kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, all that Kedusha was Batel. Okay? We're not talking about Machal HaMikdash right now, we're talking about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in general. All of that Kedusha was Batel. The Jews went to Bavel, and then they left Bavel with Ezra, and they came back and built the second Beis HaMikdash. That is not called Ole Mitzrayim. What do you think that's called? Ole Bovel. When they came that time, the settlement in Eretz Yisrael was much smaller. It started in Yerushalayim and it grew out from there. It certainly never reached the original borders of Ole Mitzrayim. That Kedusha, even after Korban Bayasheni, we Paskin, that Kedusha was L'Shaita and also L'Asid Lavo. Meaning that Kedusha has never left. Which means that Eretz Yisrael today continues to have Kedusha in the areas of Ole Bavel. Now, I should say as an aside, even the areas that were Ole Mitzrayim, and maybe even the larger areas of the Kulos Haftacha, also have a form of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. For certain halachos, that is considered Eretz Yisrael. Like, for instance, maybe the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael you fulfill even in the broader borders of Ole Mitzrayim. But when we talk about Kedusha Sakarka for Mitzvah Satzluyos Ba'aretz, we refer to the smaller borders of Ole Bavel. Now, you can forget everything I just said. I mean, it's good to know. But the point I'm just trying to bring out is that when we say fruits and vegetables that grew in Halachic Eretz Yisrael, that's a big question. What is Halachic Eretz Yisrael? For sure, Yerushalayim is Halachic Eretz Yisrael. But if you start to go really north, like let's say nowadays, you go past the border of Medinat Yisrael, and you go into Lebanon. That's Eretz Yisrael, according to Ole Mitzrayim. If you go south, and you stay within Eretz Yisrael, the Arava, which is the area from basically the bottom of the Dead Sea, Yam HaMelech, down to Eilat. If you've ever driven to Eilat, you drive alongside the Dead Sea. I mean, there's two ways to go. But the general way that a lot of people go is they go along the Dead Sea, and you get to the bottom of the Dead Sea, you then have like another hour and a half, at least, just like straight through the desert till you get to Eilat. At some point on that drive, you have left Eretz Yisrael, definitely Ole Bavel, but also Ole Mitzrayim. Ole Mitzrayim, according to most Shitas, ends way before you get to Eilat. So there could be fruits and vegetables that grow outside of Eilat. It's part of Israel. We talked about maybe Rosh Hashanah Paskind regarding 2 days of Yontif, or having 1 day of Yontif.
because it's part of political Eretz Yisrael, it's part of the state of Israel today, but al pi halacha, in terms of Kedusha Sa'aretz, it doesn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz. And therefore, fruits and vegetables that grow there might not be Shemitah at all, even though they're growing in the state of Israel, but they're not part of the halachic Eretz Yisrael. And this gets into the question, okay, but maybe the fact that Klal Yisrael has now conquered that area, whatever word we're going to use, it's part of the annex, it's part of the state of Israel, maybe it now gets Kedusha. So these are big discussions. So I'm just pointing out that my only reason for going into all these details, because I'm trying to keep this clear and concise, is just that when we say fruits that grow in halachic Eretz Yisrael, that's a loaded statement. What's also interesting is when we say that the peiros have Kedusha, because what does that mean they have Kedusha? Normally when we talk about fruit and vegetables, food having Kedusha, it usually means you can't eat it. Right? Like if someone's makdish their produce, so then it's usher to eat it. The Torah, when it uses the word kodesh, it's sometimes referring to truma. Truma you can't eat unless you're a kohen. Normally Kedusha is something that we can't eat. When it comes to peiros shvius, not only can you eat it, and people think like, oh, careful, it's Shemitah. Okay. Shemitah, not only can you eat it, there might even be a mitzvah to eat it. The Rambam doesn't count eating peiros shmitah as a mitzvah. But the Ramban, in his Hasagos on the Ramban has a list of mitzvos that he thinks the Rambam left out. His third mitzvah on that list, one of the famous ones, is mitzvah number 4, I believe, which is mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't count Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. The Ramban says, hey, you forgot the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number 3 is eating peiros shmitah. Now there's a big debate. That's how the Megillas Esther, one of the commentaries on the Ramban and the Rambam, what he thinks the Ramban is saying. Others argue that that's not what the Ramban means. But the simple understanding of the Ramban is that not only can you eat peiros shmitah, you have a mitzvah to eat peiros shmitah. And here, this is not just Kedusha in the sense that we stay away from it. It's the opposite. We want to eat the Kedusha. It's like, you know, it's like eating on Shabbos is a achil of Kedusha. Eating a carbon, if you can eat a carbon, is a big deal. It's holy food. It's holier. Right now, like the Gentiles, they think that when the rabbi makes a bracha, he's like making the food holy. But that's not true. But, I mean, maybe it is on a deeper level, on a halachic level, that's not why we're making a bracha. We're not blessing the food. But peiros shmita, they have kedusha. We want to eat shmita fruits as long as we're doing it properly. But there's a milut eating it. So those peiros are kadosh pektusha shmita, and that's why you should just have in your head, you shouldn't think like, oh, it's shmita, therefore I got to stay away. No, you want to eat shmita as long as all the other factors are being done properly. Okay, so that's peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael, in land that was owned by a Jew. Next are fruits and vegetables that grew outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that's also very easy. That's not kadosh. Nowadays, many products in Eretz Yisrael are imported completely. Like, for instance, sugar. There will never be any sugar in a makolet or a supermarket, to the best of my knowledge, that will ever have shmita. Oh, it grows. But all sugar, rice, all rice is imported. It's not grown here in Eretz Yisrael. So you never have a problem of fruits and vegetables, of certain things like sugar and rice here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Things that grow in the south of Eretz Yisrael, we mentioned the Arava, but the Arama Dromit, the southern part of the Negev. So this is a big machlokas about what their status is. And many of the produce that you will buy that has a bedatz hashkacha, one of the better hashkachas, those will say on them that they are from the Arava Dromit, that that's where they were grown. Now, sometimes some of the hashkachas try to have other mitigating factors with this kula, meaning you'll buy something and it'll say that it grew in the Arava Dromit. But it'll also say that it's matzah minutak, which means that it was grown on a hydroponically, not like in a, what are those buildings called? In a greenhouse where it was in its own dirt. It wasn't in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, or it wasn't even in dirt, it was in water. Like they put a plastic down, they fill a tub with water, they grow the fruits and vegetables hydroponically in the water, and it's covered in a greenhouse, so it's not outside, it's not in the dirt. So is that enough to not have Kedusha Shemitah? Not necessarily, but having that plus the fact that this was all done in the south of the country, where anyway it's probably outside of the borders. So you'll see, if you see on a package that it says something like Arava Dromit or Matzah Menutak, you'll realize sometimes those two things will come together. That's because we're trying to find something that hedging the different sides in order that it's not considered having been grown in Eretz Yisrael.
Is it a svek-sveker?
What was that?
Is it considered a
it could be something along those lines, that it's some type of argument like a svek-sveker. Or it really is more like a chumra agave chumra, meaning it's grown in an area which, according to basically everyone, is outside of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And in addition to that, anyway, we add like another chumra, we do it matzah menutak, so it helps, you know, more. What? So it doesn't have... Exactly, good. We're going to do that at the end. We're going to go through the different options and say, so something like that would not have Kedusha Shemitah. Good. Now...
Wouldn't we call things from the south Arava?
Arava Dromit. The southern Arava.
That's considered not...
Not Kadosh. That's outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's considered. So sometimes they'll do Heter Mechira plus growing it down there, meaning they'll grow it down there, and they'll sell the land, which we'll talk about in a few minutes what the Heter Mechira is. Okay, now we have, and this is the more complicated, and this is the big controversy that you need to know about, which becomes so crucial to so many different areas of Shemitah, and that is fruits and vegetables that grew within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but in the land of a non-Jew. You have a Arab, you have a Christian, they own the land, it's their produce, and they grow it, but it's in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a big machlokas. Why? Because it begins with a machlokas in the Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara and Gittin has a machlokas. Ha'im yesh kinyan la'akum be'eretz Yisrael lafkia midei trumos ma'isros. What does that expression mean? Ha'im yesh kinyan la'akum. Does an akum have the ability, a non-Jew, have the ability to make a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael in order to be mafkia, kafkinu, to be mafkia the land from Kedusha? From the chiyuv of trumos and maestros. So that is the debate over there in the Gemara. And what it basically means is there a chiyuv of trumos and maestros on produce grown by a Gentile in Eretz Yisrael? The land is holy, but maybe now that a Gentile owns the land, and obviously it has to be that he really owns it. If it was Jewish land that he squatted on and he took it, he might not own it. But if he really owns the land, you should know that the Catholic Church owns a tremendous amount of land in Eretz Yisrael. Tremendous amount of land is owned by the Catholic Church. In Yerushalayim, a lot of Yerushalayim is owned by the Catholic Church. So they have tremendous real estate holdings for, you know, centuries already in Eretz Yisrael. So if land is grown by a Gentile, right, that's going to get into a discussion, okay, well, what if it's owned by the Catholic Church, but we're renting it from them, which is a lot of land in Eretz Yisrael. So who's considered the owner? Is it considered Gentile-owned or Jewish-owned? And that's why you see, like, sugyas about Shemitah can get very complicated and go many different directions. But in general, this is what you need to know. And this is really just the background for what you need to know. The Gemara in Gittin has a machlokas. If a goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, does it remove the Kedushas Aretz to the degree, at least, that there's no Trumos Maestros? First of all, it's about Trumos Maestros, not Shemitah. The Gemara's psak seems to be, it's a big debate, but the Gemara's psak seems to be that in Eretz Yisrael itself, they don't have the ability. But in Syria, in Syria, which is, as we said, part of Eretz Yisrael in terms of one set of borders, they do have the ability. So why is there a difference between Eretz Yisrael proper and this extended part of Eretz Yisrael, Syria? So the Gemara doesn't say, but the general assumption of the Rishonim is because one is Trumos Maestros Dioraisa and one is Trumos Maestros Dirabanan. In Eretz Yisrael, Trumos Maestros are Dioraisa. In Syria, they're only Dirabanan. And therefore, when you're dealing of a chiv of Trumos Maestros Dioraisa, a guy who acquires land does not have the ability to remove the Dioraisa status of the Trumos Maestros. But when it's a Dirabanan land, he does have the ability. Why is that important for us? Because nowadays, Shemitah is Dirabanan. It's a big machlokas. But we, Paskin, right, Rambam, and what the Rambam holds, but we, Paskin, that Shemitah today is Dirabanan. Now, if Shemitah is Dirabanan, now first of all, it doesn't just mean that anytime there's a suffix, we go Lekula, because it's suffix Dirabanan Lekula, because it's a Dirabanan, but it's a Dirabanan of something which at its core is Dioraisa. Right? Sometimes the rabbis just make up a takana. They create a takana. Here, this is a derabbanan form of something which is really d'oraisa. So it's a more machmir form of a derabbanan. Of? No, it's not in terms of where it's coming from. It's that it's Shemitah is a d'oraisa principle. It's just that nowadays it's only in its derabbanan form. But it's not a derabbanan that just came out of nowhere. It's a derabbanan that's just a extension of a d'oraisa. Okay, so why is that important for us? Because if the reason why the Gemara rules that Yesh Kinyan La'akam Eretz Yisrael Afkia Mitzulos Umaisros is in Syria is because Syria is derabbanan, that would mean that today in Eretz Yisrael, where Shemitah and all of Eretz Yisrael is only derabbanan, a guy should have the ability to acquire land and to remove the Kedusha. But there's another problem, and that is this whole discussion of a guy removing the Kedusha is only about Shemitah and Maestros. Is that true also regarding Shemitah? So, because of this, this becomes a very controversial topic. The Gemara itself and the Rishonim do not themselves address the question of Shemitah. They address Trumos and Maestros. But Shemitah is only addressed by the Achronim. And this is, and that was all the background. Now this is what you need to know. This is a big machlokas between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. The Mabit and Beis Yosef were basically contemporaries living in Tzfat in the 1500s. So for them, this was a practical question. They're living in Tzfat. There are many non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Land that's owned by a non-Jew, is the produce that grows in their land Kadosh B'Kedusha Shemitah or not? If you wanted to say it in a more lomdish way, you would say, do the Gentiles have the ability to be mafkia the Kedusha from the land regarding Shemitah today, when Shemitah is only derabbanan? The Mabit said, no. The produce is still Kadosh, even if it's owned by a non-Jew, the land. If it's for the Mabit, there's only one question. Did it grow in Eretz Yisrael, or did it not grow in Eretz Yisrael? If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter who owns the land. It's Kadosh B'Kedusha Shemitah. This is how the Chazon Ish paskens, and this is the Minog in Bnei Brak, and it happens to also be the Minog here in Shalavim. Shalavim paskens like the Chazon Ish regarding this issue, and that is why any produce that's here in Shalavim, that it says on it, Nachri. Nachri means that it's produce that came from non-Jewish farmers, from non-Jewish owned land in Eretz Yisrael. We still here treat it with Kedusha, which means, and we're going to talk about what applies to, but that means that there's an insert of schora to sell it and to buy it. We're going to have to address the question, then how do we get it? It also means that you're not allowed to be mafsid it. The Pasuk says that the land will be for you, la'achla, to eat it. The lo lafsida, the Gemara darshans, and not to be mafsid it. That's why if you go to the Chayrochel today, and they tell you that the peppers are Kadosh B'Kedusha Shemitah, what it very likely means is that it's Nachri, it's owned by a non-Jew, the land, but we passing like the Chazon Ish, like the Mabit, that it's still Kadosh, and therefore, if it's still Kadosh, you can't just throw them away in the garbage and get them all dirty and disgusting. It has Kedusha. And that's why they have a separate garbage can called the Pach Shemitah, where all of the Kadosh stuff gets put, and they don't throw that bag in the garbage. They first let it sit out until it rots, and then, you can't rot it, you can't pour disgusting things on it and make it dirty, but if it ends up rotting on its own, so then finally, once it's rotted, then it can be thrown away. But we have to treat it with Kedusha Shemitah, which means every time you take a bite out of that pepper, you are imbibing Kedusha Saaretz. And it also means that you should be careful with how much you take. You shouldn't take more than what's necessary. So hold on, that's the view of the Mabit. However, the Beis Yosef disagreed. The Beis Yosef held Ein Kedusha. If land is owned by a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, so then the land does not have Kedusha, and the produce is not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shemitah. You're allowed to buy and sell it. you're allowed to be mopsed it. Again, there's always an issue about tashlis, but if you take and there's leftover, you're allowed to throw it in the garbage. And this was always the minug of the Chachmei Yerushalayim, and it's the minug till today in Yerushalayim. So this is a big machlokas, Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. I live in Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh in general follows Minhage Yerushalayim. And therefore, if you go into many of the stores in Beit Shemesh, it'll say Nachri. And what that means is that it's not Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. If you go into the same store in Bnei Brak and it says Nachri, the minhag is that it is considered Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. So here in Shalavim, when you go into the Makolet and it says Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah, it's probably just Nachri. Which means that if you go to your cousins in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, and you ask them, oh, is this stuff Shemitah? They'll say, oh, no, it's Nachri. And you'll be like, oh, so it is Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah? And they'll say, what are you talking about? It's not Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. So this is the machlokas between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. Again, is Nachri Kadosh? Mabit says yes. Beis Yosef says no. Okay. I should just point out, and we're going to talk about this more when we get to the Heter Mechira, the Beis Yosef holds that it's not Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. Still, there's still a problem, for instance, for a Jew to work the Nachri's land. As a Jew, you're not allowed to work the land in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's owned by a non-Jew. The Beis Yosef is not saying that if land is owned by a non-Jew, so that land ceases to be Eretz Yisrael. It's that the produce that comes from that land does not have Kedusha Shemitah. Okay, so what we've done so far, and then I'll take questions, is just the summary, is we've defined Peros Shemitah based on where they grew. In Eretz Yisrael, in a land of a Jew, definitely Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. Land outside of Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means, definitely not Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah. And that might open the door for us to get products from the south, the deep south. But if we're talking about the complicated area, is in Eretz Yisrael, but the land of a Nachri. Machlokas Mabit and Beis Yosef. Yeah. Yes, we're going to get there in a second, yeah.
In terms of the halacha of minhagim, do you hold on minhagim or do you hold it from where you're actually from? If you're just like, in some case, you're in your shrine, if you're on a teal to
Bnei Brak, right. What do you do? So maybe this would be connected to our sugya that we learned of when you leave a place and you go to a different place and you are daito lachzor. So remember the Mishnah in Pesachim. You can't be Mishana in public in a way that'll cause a machlokes. So I would say, see, for you guys, I guess that's a good question. And I'm going to get back to you on this question. When you're in Shalavim, for sure you should be Machmir Nachri, that has it's Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah.
Why did Shalavim hold that way?
That was the psak they got. The Chazon Ish was very connected to the Yishuv when the Yishuv started, and that was the psak that they got. And that continues to be the psak till today. So, question is, what happens when you go to your relatives who live in Yerushalayim for Shabbos? What should you do there? So that's a good question. I'll get back to you.
Also, I saw an opinion that said you could put it, I don't know if it's old or something. You put it directly into a plastic bag and throw it out.
Correct. So we're going to spend, that's going to be the next year, is going to be practical stuff in terms of what to do with the fruits, right? Today we're speaking about how to define fruits of Shemitah, and part of my goal today is just that all the different signs that you see, like in Makolets and things like that, you should know what they mean. Okay, the other issue that we need to address, what time is it? The other issue we need to address is what kind of produce are we talking about? This is a big difference between fruits and vegetables. So let's get this down. Fruits and vegetables are defined based on different stages of the fruit and vegetable's life. What do I mean by that? Let's begin with vegetables. Vegetables are defined basar lekita, which means based on when they are harvested, when they are separated from the ground. So, if a cucumber grew in the sixth year, it was planted in the sixth year, it grew in the sixth year, Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, it was a nice, juicy cucumber, and it could have been eaten. But it was only picked during the Shemitah year. It's considered Peros Shemitah. It's considered a vegetable that's Kadosh B'Ktusha Shemitah, if it grew in Eretz Yisrael, right? Once we know the first discussion of where it grew. If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, we go based on when it's harvested. Therefore, right now, most vegetables that you're going to see in a store are going to be an issue of Shemitah. Why? Because vegetables that you're eating now probably grew, certainly were planted in the sixth year, but they're being harvested now. Meaning, if today was the day after Rosh Hashanah, or 2 days after Rosh Hashanah, so probably all the vegetables would not be kadosh yet, because they were probably harvested last year. But now, we're a month past Rosh Hashanah, except for certain things, like potatoes that have a long shelf life, and after they're picked, they're stored for a long time in a storehouse. So the potatoes that you're finding in the store now were probably picked last year. But any fruits and vegetables, that were picked this year are going to be kadosh b'kedusha shmita. That's in terms of vegetables. However, when it comes to fruits, it's a whole different ballgame. Fruits, it's a machlokes, but the general accepted position is that when they blossom is when they're defined. So, any basar chanata is when they blossom. There's a machlokas about it. There's some opinions in the Rishonim that it's after it's a third grown, but it's a close amount of time. A third of growth is usually right around the time that it blossoms, right? I don't know if you all are aware. If you don't have a fruit tree in your backyard, so you might not know this, a fruit tree, so flowers appear. Little flowers appear, and the flowers are growing out of a bud. And then eventually those flowers fall off, and what's left is the beginning of the fruit. So the beginning of a fruit begins as a little bud and a flower. So that pricha is called chanata. That's when it first blossoms. And for fruits, once it's blossomed, that's when we define what year it's from. So fruits now in the shuk. If you go to the store right now and you buy an apple, when do you think that apple blossomed? In the past month or last year? For sure, last year. Months. It's months of time between when it blossoms and when it actually ends up growing. When do most fruits blossom? Take a guess, based on the Jewish calendar. Tu b'shvat higia, chag ha'ilanot. In general, in Eretz Yisrael, most fruits blossom between Tu b'shvat, which is, you know, Shvat Adar, like right before Purim, and through Pesach. So all the fruits that are ripe now, those all blossomed last year between, like, Purim time, Tu B'Shvat, Pesach time. So that's why there are no fruits now on the market that are going to be an issue of Kedusha Shmita. Because all the fruits now... That's why Rav Yitz was telling me that he went into the makolet and in front of all the fruits, it had a big sign that said Shemitah, like it's Kadosh. And he went to them, like he went to the guy, you know, in the store, like the kid. Why are these? He's like, I don't know. They told me to put that sign up. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. The fruits can't be Shemitah yet. When do you think fruits become an issue? Not this year. Next year it becomes an issue. Because next year we are eating all the fruits that blossom this year. They didn't blossom yet. When are the Shemitah fruits going to blossom? This year, Purim time, they're going to blossom. They'll get Kedusha Shmita, and next year there'll be an issue. So next year's Esrogim will be an issue, and next year's fruits will be an issue, at least in the beginning of the year. So that's a big difference between fruits and vegetables. There's also kitnios and garenim. Those go based on a third of growth, like kitnios are nuts and beans and... legumes, that's right, and seeds, like if you buy like sunflower seeds or garenim, you know, whatever those things are, that the Israelis like, right, the garenim, so all of those things, what are they called in English?
Sunflowers.
Those are sunflower seeds? Oh, those are sunflower, oh, okay, I was thinking pumpkin, yeah. Oh, and all these different seeds, those will all go based on a third of growth, which means that the ones that we see in the stores now are from last year, they're not a problem yet. So if we just needed to like go through this winter, the winter of Shemitah, which is right now we're starting the winter, you might not be able to tell, but I mean in this room you could tell you, it's been winter all year here in this room, but with this air conditioning. But the winter is really just an issue of vegetables and what we call perota adama, which are also vegetables like potatoes, although again, potatoes have a little bit of a longer shelf life. When we start to hit the summer... The summer is when fruits will start to be an issue. And next year, until around Hanukkah time, we'll still be dealing with vegetables. Vegetables are going to be the whole year. including the beginning of next year, because the beginning of next year we'll still be eating some fruit of vegetables that were harvested this year. Right? There will be vegetables that are going to be harvested. Potatoes are going to be harvested during this year. We're still going to be dealing with the Kedusha.
Eventually, we're just
going to throw all our plates just in. Patch what was that? So that's going to be in terms of the year. Okay. What time is it? Do we have another minute or two? 26. Okay. So let's just very quickly go through what is the Heter Mechira. How can you do Heter Mechira in 4 minutes? We'll see if we can do Heter Mechira very quickly. So what's the Heter Mechira? So the Heter Mechira is what it says. It's a Heter. Nobody, even the ones who are pro, no one says that Heter Mechira is ideal. Heter Mechira is a Heter. But it's a very important Heter that was used at different points in history for very dire situations. What does this mean? Historically, it began in the end of the 1800s when the new Yishuv was being established here in Eretz Yisrael. There had been the old Yishuv that was in Yerushalayim. They kept the Shemitah here and they made it through. But there was a new Yishuv, agricultural communities. The old Yishuv were Jews living in Yerushalayim. There was a Chalukah system. They got money sent to them, stuck of money sent to them from Europe, and they were being supported by the European communities. And there was a small Frum community in Yerushalayim. That was the old Yishuv. The new Yishuv was the spirit, the Zionistic spirit. The first of the new Yishuv were actually also ultra-Orthodox Jews from Poland, Maskeret Batya. They set up an agricultural community. A lot of it was funded by people like Rothschild, but it was an attempt to establish agricultural communities. Agricultural communities are agricultural, and they needed to work the land. So it became a big issue. Also, it wasn't just a few Jews living in Yerushalayim. Now, there are all these families that are coming over. What are they going to do for Shemitah? So the idea was to create a heter in order for pikuach nefesh. You have to realize these people had nothing. No food. There was malaria. It was mamish pikuach nefesh for them. So it became a huge debate in Europe, where a lot of the shilohs were sent, the big gedolim in Europe. What should they do? Now, what was the idea of the heter? The idea of the heter was very simple. We saw already that there's a machlokes, Mabit, Beis Yosef. If a goy owns land, does it have kedusha or not? Mabit says yes, Beis Yosef says no. So they're going to assume like the Beis Yosef, that no. So what were they going to do? They were going to sell all of their land to Gentiles, temporarily, for the year of Shemitah. That way the land is owned by a non-Jew. And if they hold like the Beis Yosef, then all the fruits and vegetables that grow there are not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shemitah. So that was the idea. The idea was to make a sale of the land. Now, they were doing it for Pikuach Nefesh reasons. And that was the only tzad that it should be allowed. Why? What's the problem with it? It sounds like it works. Well, there's a couple of problems with it. First of all, there's an Isser Dioraisa of Los Chanim. You're not allowed to sell land to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's an Isser Dioraisa. Nothing to do with Shemitah. A Jew is not allowed to sell land to Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Right? That's also like a Zionistic reason. But it's coming from the other side. That Lo Sechanim, there's an Isser D'oraisa to sell land. Okay, but obviously an Isser like Lo Sechanim is going to, how can we give away land for peace? So some people say, that's why we shouldn't. But the people who said that we should, Rabbanim who said that we should, it's because it's Pikuach Nefesh. It's going to bring peace. So you could deal with Lo Sechanim, but we just really have to realize what some of the issues were. That was one of the issues. Another issue was, is the sale really being done seriously? If we're doing like this, like wink, wink, I'll sell you my land for a year, is that being done seriously? Do the farmers... By Chavi, it's good. Correct. So is this land, is this sale really being done properly? And is it, or is it just a farce? Do the farmers, if let's say the farmers aren't religious, do the farmers even know what they're doing? Like they say, here, just sign this. It's called Heter Mechira. Okay. Do you realize that you just sold your land? What? I sold my land? Meaning, do the farmers know what they're doing? Number three, is it being done properly? Is the right shtar being done? What's the process that's being done? So, again, this is a huge issue. And I can't in 4 minutes really, first of all, you all know I'm going to take a little bit more than 4 minutes, but I can't actually summarize it in 4 minutes, but just to give you some of like the broad strokes of what was going on. So there were a lot of people who were very opposed to it. There were a lot of people who were very for it. And even those who supported it said, I'm giving my support for 1 year, and in 7 years from now, we'll reassess. And every year that the Heter Mechira was done, it was always done in that context.
reassess. We'll reassess next time. You could do it this year, we'll reassess. It was a big, big machlokas between Rav Kook and others at his time. Rav Kook supported it, others didn't. One of the great voices in Europe that supported it in the early years was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the undisputed posei kador in Europe, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. But he accepted it, but with many conditions, like, for instance, that no Jews can work the land, which, unfortunately, wasn't followed. And Jews did end up working the land. Nowadays, when they do the Hetter Mechira, they sell it to an Arab, and then they just continue working the field like they did before. It's all the fields are worked by Jews. All Rav Kook stressed over and over again that it can't be worked by Jews. You can only have non-Jews work it. Happens to be nowadays a lot of the work is done by Filipinos and other people from other countries that come here and work the fields. But this is the big debate. And again, I'm not taking sides in the debate. I'm just trying to explain to you what it was. Nowadays, and I want you to understand the halachic mechanism. If something is heter mechira and you accept the heter mechira, the produce is not kadosh because you sold it to a land and you hold like the Beis Yosef. Here in Shalavim, we do not use heter mechira products. If you're going to follow that minhag of not going with the heter, so then you have to look on products because products will say, you'll have a potato chip bag that says on it heter mechira and another one that doesn't say heter mechira. In general, this has become a highly politicized issue.
Okay, the last thing we need to discuss is svichim. So what's svichim? So the Torah says, esviach k'tzircha lo tiptzor. And Rashi says, what does that mean, esviach k'tzircha? It means even the things that you didn't plant. So svichin are things that grew on their own. You didn't purposely plant them. Either they grew from seeds that fell in the previous year, the wind blew seeds. That's svichin. And there's going to be a lot of vegetables that grow just on their own. So we see from this pasuk that on a dioraisa level, svichin are also shaykh to the laws of Shemitah, which we haven't really discussed in depth yet. What do you do with Shemitah products? But for instance, there's a chiyuv to be mafkir, all the produce in your field. That's going to apply by svichin as well. Svichin are going to be hefker. Now, obviously, on a dioraisa level, svichin, okay, so they have kedusha shvius. If they're, let's say we're talking about yurakos, if we're talking about vegetables, if they are harvested in the seventh year, so they're going to have, if they're cut in the seventh year, they're going to have kedusha, and it's mutter to eat them. Liochla. So it's mutter to eat them. That's min haTorah. However, midrabanan, Chazal made a gezeira against all svichin. Chazal made a gezeira that all svichin are usher. It's the isser of svichin. And you cannot eat vegetables that grew on their own. What's the reason? Because they were ovrei avera. There were people who would plant their field during the Shemitah year. They would grow vegetables. And then when people would ask, well, where are you getting these things from? They would say, what do you mean? They grew on their own. So therefore, in order to prevent that, Chazal made a takana, all svichin are usher. Now, this is only by vegetables or grain or kidneys, but it doesn't apply to fruits. Why? Because you cannot plant a fruit, secretly plant a fruit in the Shemitah year and then already have fruits. You can't plant a tree and then already have fruits right away. That's not something that's very common or very likely. And therefore, it's specifically things like vegetables, grain, things that theoretically could be planted during the Shemitah year and then passed off as svichin. So therefore, there is no gezeira svichin on fruits, only on vegetables and grains and things like that. Okay, now here there's a very big machlokas. Which vegetables are shayach to this gezeira of the iser svichin? And this is a machlokas we showed him. The Rambam is machmir, and he says it follows the same rules as kedusha shvius. Any vegetable which is harvested, is cut in the seventh year, it doesn't matter when it grew, it doesn't matter when it, you know, when it did most of its growth, it doesn't matter when it was planted, even if we're talking about things that were planted in the sixth year, it doesn't matter. It's usher, part of the gezeira of svichin. Once a vegetable is harvested in the seventh year, it's usher to eat as svichin. However, the Rash, Rav Shimshon of Shatz, and other Rishonim, so they say that the Isser is only if it's something that could theoretically have been planted during the seventh year. But things that are clearly that they grew earlier, they grew in the sixth year, and they just happen to have been harvested in the seventh year, so those are not going to be shaykh to the Isser of Yerakos. So this is a major machlokas, because in the beginning of the year, right now we're in the beginning of the Shemitah year, we're a month in, basically all the vegetables that are in the shuk now, certainly many of them, not all, but many of them, were harvested, and certainly let's say in a month from now, were harvested during the seventh year. So they're all Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius. But most of them also grew primarily in the sixth year. And they were already of a certain stage of maturation by the time Rosh Hashanah came around, that it's clear that these were not planted in the seventh year. A nice big cucumber in Makola today was clearly not planted in the Shemitah year. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter. They're still usser because of the Isser of Svichin. But according to all the other Rishonim, these might have Kedusha, but they're not usser for Svichin. So it's very important how we paskin. Lamaisa the Chazon Ish and most poskim were makil on this issue. And therefore, in the beginning of the Shemitah year, like now, many of the vegetables might have Kedusha, but they're not going to have Bishayach to the Isser of Svichin. Now, in addition to that, the Isser of Svichin does not apply to the vegetables of a Nachri. So, meaning, even if you hold and you're machmir, like the Mabit, that there's Kedusha to the vegetables of a Nachri, but they're not usher to eat because of Svichin. So, and I'll just mention it quickly again, just we're just trying to get the concepts down here, so I'm not going into all the details of the halacha, but Tvua and Kitnios. So those go based on, everyone agrees, those go based on a third of growth. Meaning if they grew a third of growth before the Shemitah year, the Rambam agrees to this also, he's not machmir regarding this. If they grew a third before the Shemitah year, so then there's no Isser of, there's no Kedusha. And, excuse me, there's no Isser of Svichin. And there's also no Kedusha, it happens to be, because when it comes to Tzvu and Kitnios, we don't go based on when they were harvested. We go based on a third of growth, and that's also regarding the Isser of Svichin. Okay, just putting that on the side. Practically, on a practical level, the halacha is, as we said, like the Chazon Ish, and what that means practically is that the Isser of Svichin only begins a couple of months into the year. So we're talking about Kislev, you know, another month or two from right now is when the Isser of Svichin is going to start. Then there's charts that tell you when does the Isser of Svichin start for the different types of vegetables, and that will be in Kislev and Teves, and it'll start at that point in the year. So until then, we don't generally have to deal with Svichin so much, but after that, we do, and then we're going to have to deal with that for many, many months, because there's going to be a very long time period where vegetables are going to all be shaykh to the Isser of Svichin, because they were all things that grew in the seventh year, or at least weren't nicker that they grew in the sixth year. And that's when the major question is going to arise of what do you buy? Do you buy Nachri? And then subject to the Machlokas of the Mabit and the Beis Yosef, whether they're Kadosh, or do you buy Heter Mechira, which if you hold of the Heter, so then they're not Kadosh, and they're not Shaykh to the Isser Svichin. What are you going to do for vegetables? That's the big question once the Isser Svichin kicks in. And just now that we spoke about Svichin, I just want to clarify one thing that we said earlier, which might not have been 100% clear because we hadn't discussed Svichin yet, and that is what the Heter Mechira does for you. So we said that the Heter Mechira is basically predicated on the Beis Yosef, because the idea of the Heter Mechira is that it becomes Nachri, and therefore, according to the Beis Yosef, it doesn't have Kedusha to be able to use it as regular Chulin produce. Now, that's not entirely correct, because if you hold of the Heter Mechira, even if you're machmir for the Mabit, that it still has Kedusha, but you still do gain something, and that is avoiding the Isser of Svichin. What do I mean by that? If a person relies on the Heter Mechira, so vegetables that grew and were harvested during the seventh year, which theoretically should be Usser because of the Isser of Svichin, but if that land had been sold to a non-Jew using the Heter Mechira and you accept the Heter Mechira, so then it's Nachri. And when regarding Nachri produce, there is no Isser of Svichin. And therefore, the Heter Mechira would allow you, again, if you hold like the Beis Yosef, it allows the fruit to be considered completely not Kadosh. But even if you're Machmir for the Mabit, that it is considered Kadosh, you still get something from the Heter Mechira in the sense that it doesn't have the Isser of Svichin and it can be eaten B'Kedushasa. Okay, I think now we've basically gone through all of the background to understanding which fruits and vegetables are shaykh to Shemitah. We have to now, and we'll do this in our next year, we have to discuss what are the different products you will find in a store now that we know the background. And we're going to see there are around six different options when you get into a store. And then we have to discuss what do I do? How do I treat Peros Shvius?